Thanks for tuning in. This is the Mile High Show, episode number 440. I am Matt Santos, your host. And I'm solo tonight. I am in my garage in Chino Valley, Arizona. And this is rather difficult for me. I am it's been a rough couple of weeks, to be quite honest with you. We've been pretty busy, secular work wise. It's traditionally this is a busy time of year for me. In my photo and marketing and journalism business that I run, it's a primarily photojourn business. I photograph events, I do write ups, press releases, things like that. One of my clients is the town of Chino Valley. They keep me pretty busy. I'm thankful for that work that I have. But the town is a political organization. It's a municipality. Anybody that knows me knows this about me. If you don't know this about me, then that is proof that you don't know me that well. I am not a political person. I do not enjoy politics. I stay away from them. They frustrate me. They anger me, because no matter how well-intentioned a politician is, I break it down in rules of thirds. A third of the people love you, a third of the people hate you, and a third of the people don't know who you are. So it's tough to get anything done. It's the nature of mankind. It's the nature of the beast. We are self-destructive animals. And if you doubt me in that, then I just ask you to pick up a history book and look at how humans govern themselves. It's not a pretty sight. Having said that, some of our local folks here are great, great guys and gals. But it's tough, man. Every time you try and do something good, somebody's trying to knock you down, and the public perception of politicians is that they are out trying to do no good. And I have been thrust in the middle of a local Chino Valley rivalry. I don't know, that's not even the right word, but a conflict. And people have asked me over the last 2 weeks to take one side or the other and to wave the banner of one side or the other. And you know, believe me or not, and there's some out there who do not believe me, I don't care. I just plain don't care. I'm not even going to get into it much. Google Chino Valley, pull up Chino Valley, review our local paper or the Daily Courier and do a search of Chino Valley. You will see. I understand the frustration. There's a local businessman who thinks he's being wronged, and more power to him. The local politicians have their point of view, and they counter what he is saying. You know, more power to them. Quite frankly, I don't want to be in the middle of it. It's not my battle. But in the course of my work, I am immersed in it a little bit. But you know what? As frustrating as that is, as frustrating as it is to see these two entities battling, you know, it's really frustrating when people read a sentence or two on social media and read somebody else's opinion, and that's all it is an opinion, and they take that as fact, and they then quote other people's opinion as fact, as a source, and then spout off. It's the mentality of, I know nothing about this, I haven't done my homework, but here is my opinion, and I am going to force it upon you. So I have taken a few days off of social media to let my head clear, and that is necessary for various reasons. A couple here I'm going to cop to that I normally don't like to admit. But anybody who has spent more than 30 seconds with me knows it to be true. I am a flawed individual. I have more problems than can be addressed on a podcast. It's an entire case study to figure out what's wrong with me. And today I tried to remedy that. I am constantly in groups of people, in crowds. My job puts me at events, covering them, observing them, reporting on them, where there are anywhere from dozens to thousands of people, tens of thousands of people sometimes. And oftentimes that's what people think I am. I am a person who likes to be around crowds. For those of you that know me, this will not be a shock, but for those that just know about me or who have come in contact with me, this may shock you. I am a loner person. I am much more comfortable all alone than I am with people. And some of that is because I am constantly around large groups. I could very well be a hermit. I could very easily sequester myself away in a cabin. Well, you know what? Not even that. I'm a city boy at heart. Not a mountain cabin, but I could really lock myself in a SRO and be holed up in a Skid Row motel and be completely happy. And sad to say, I've actually done that. I have been in a single room occupancy with nothing more than a window, a deadbolt on the door, and a pizza delivery around the corner, and been completely happy. I have spent weeks in such a location in the Tenderloin in San Francisco, and been very, very happy. My niece by marriage, Brianne Weeks, used to joke around and tell me that I could very well be a hermit, and she was very correct in that matter. Unfortunately, being a husband and father does not lend itself to the hermit life very easily. But certain things recently have changed in that area. At least I've just noticed that they've changed in that area. And that is that my son, who was just the other day, he was just a little baby. He was a little boy. He was a little baby. He's not a baby no more. He's a kid. He's a boy. He's 6 years old. He's independent. He can. He doesn't need his old man anymore. No, he does. He loves me, I think. But it's tough to see him growing up and getting some independence. It's tough to acknowledge that he is getting older, which means that soon he will be a teenager and he will hate me and he will be ashamed to be seen with me, and he will make me drop him off when meeting his friends two blocks away because he doesn't want to be seen with his old man. My wife of 20-plus years, I'm sure, is feeling the same way on occasion, that she doesn't want to be seen with me either. So anyway, I'm hiding in my garage tonight. I'm recording this solo. This is episode number 40. I don't even know if I said that already. That's kind of a milestone for me. This podcast was started almost a year ago. It'll be a year in December. I'm going to backtrack a little bit, give you a little history. I am a 10-year resident, 11-year resident of Arizona. Previous to that, the San Francisco Bay Area, the East Bay, south of Oakland is where I spent most of my time. Again, big crowded area. You wouldn't think that a guy would want to be a hermit living in a metro area, but I could very easily be that. That's where I spent most of my life, in the East Bay and surrounding Bay Area. Did a lot of work in the LA area, flying back and forth several years. I was doing that once a month at least. But I'm always around people. And when my wife and I married, I was still doing photo work and photojourn work, and that was not conducive to a budding marriage, and I got out of that business for a little bit and then found myself back into it. But I am a deeply, deeply flawed individual. I don't make any bones about that. I fully acknowledge that. But for years, I did not. And when one of the major things that I struggle with is that of anxiety and panic. I have anxiety attacks and panic attacks. And over the years, I didn't recognize what they were. I just thought I was stressed out, and I would often self-medicate. And I am trying not to do that in recent years for the betterment of my health and my wife's sanity. I have tried to get a handle on that, and I think I'm succeeding. But that doesn't mean I don't get those feelings, those anxieties, those panic attacks. They are fewer and farther apart than they were in past, but I still have them. And recently, in dealing with some of these knuckleheads in and around Chino Valley, I got to feeling them again. And it doesn't help that as I'm watching my son get older, that I am getting older as well. I am creeping up on 50. I will be 50 this year. And that's hard to swallow. It's hard to acknowledge that I am half a century old. I should not be. I refuse to acknowledge that because I am way too immature to be 50 years old. What do they say, middle age? But you figure if somebody lives to be, you know, 70, 80, 90, if they take care of themselves, which I have not, then middle age would be, you know, 35, 40, 45. So I'm above middle age. I am only middle age if I'm going to live to be 100. And anybody who has met me, seen me, or been in the same city as me knows I have not taken care of myself. I'm a mess. So when I periodically feel that anxiety, that panic, that bile creep up into my throat. There was a time when I dealt with that in a certain manner that was not conducive to a healthy lifestyle. There was a time when I dealt with that some now would consider suicidal, not overtly so, but obviously some of the things I did to my mind and body over the years, on the outside looking at it, you'd have to go, oh boy, that dude does not want to be around any longer. Now, of course, I don't feel that way. I love my wife. I love my son. I want to be around them as long as possible. But every once in a while, you know what? I need to escape. So that's what I did today. I hopped on my trusty two-wheeler, my Kawasaki. I ride a Kawasaki Vulcan 2000cc. It's an 04 model, and it is a beautiful piece of machinery that I enjoy cruising up and down the highways of Arizona. Now, today, my plan was to, as I'm sitting here drinking my strawberry lemonade, my plan was to, after a morning of spending time with my family and some friends, my plan was to jump on the bike around noon, go a few blocks away from the house, grab myself a nice iced coffee in a bottle that they sell at our local Maverick. Maverick is, for anybody that doesn't know, is a convenience store. You know, substitute Circle K, substitute 7-Eleven, Quick Stop, whatever you want. In our area, it's a Maverick, and our local one is staffed by some real friendly people, and they got some real good deals on iced iced coffee. So, oh, there's our first commercial of the day. So I stopped by Maverick. It was a couple blocks away. Gassed up that Kawasaki, downed a nice cold beverage, and then I decided to go another couple of blocks. And another couple of blocks turned into a couple of miles, and a couple of miles turned into a few highways. And before I knew it, I was cruising down the 101 loop in Phoenix, Arizona, a couple hours away from my home, feeling the hot wind blowing through my hair. If you have never met me, I am, picture Fabio, about 6'2", 6'3", long flowing locks of blonde hair, sculpted Adonis body. And then if for those of you who have met me, you know I'm a liar. I have no hair, so no wind was blowing through my hair, but it was blowing through my face, right through it. And it felt good. It felt good to not hear anything, to escape for a little bit and kind of cleanse my brain of all the garbage that has been building up in it the last few days. Now, I feel comfortable when I'm alone. I know it's not healthy for me. I know it's not conducive to a healthy relationship with my family to isolate myself. But at the same time, periodically, we all need to decompress. And I do that best when alone. Good, bad. I'm not a doctor. I don't even go to doctors. So, but for me, it works. Sometimes I just need to get away. And today was one of those days. I think it stems from, like I said, I'm constantly around people, crowds, whether that be small crowds of a dozen or so to large arena-filled crowds. I'm always around people. I have been since I was a kid. I'm the youngest of six kids, actually. My family was mom and dad and six children. I was the youngest of those, and I think some of my anxiety and some of my mental disposition comes from that position of being the youngest. I know traditionally people like to believe that the youngest is spoiled, the youngest gets to do what they want, the youngest gets to get away with stuff. I'm the youngest of six. I only knew the five of us. My oldest sister, from her down to me, is a 7-year difference. Six kids in 7 years. Now, one brother passed away before I was born. It goes my sister Mag, my brother Tony. They're less than 11 months apart, less than a year apart. Mag, Tony. Then about a year or so, year and a half, 2 years, I don't know, my sister Eva. Then my brother Gabe. Then there was Joseph, who died as an infant. He was a result of SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. And then myself. I was born after Joseph died. So I've always kind of, I should be laying on a couch for this. This is like therapy for me, I guess. And you know what? That's somewhat of why I'm doing this podcast, not this episode, but just in general, is it's kind of like therapy for me to express myself and to discuss things with people. It's just a way to communicate, which as much talking as I do, I'm not a great communicator. So this is a way for me to actually communicate with other people and with the public in a way that forces me to communicate in ways I'm not normally comfortable. In general, the interviews that I have with people I don't know that I've just met, musicians and actors and comedians and authors and politicians, whoever I'm talking with, that's not my comfort zone. So by doing either the podcast or what I do in my secular life in interviews for print or broadcast on radio, it's a way that I force myself to do something I'm not comfortable with. So it's kind of like therapy. This tonight, is really like therapy. I really feel like I should be charging myself a couple hundred bucks an hour, and I should be laying on a couch. I should, having said that, be then able to write myself a prescription. I don't know if that'll fly. I don't think so. Anyway, a lot of the issues that I have, I'm not trying to deflect it on blame onto anybody, because my issues are my issues. I am I can be self-destructive. I have made way more bad decisions than we can recap in a podcast, and they're all mine. I know that, but a lot of them, I'm sure, stem from the fact that I am the only one in our family not to know my brother. Much of my family experiences I know through recollections of my siblings and of my family. We weren't really close to cousins and uncles and aunts when I became aware of, you know, as I was growing up. As an infant we were, and before I was born we were, our family was, but we kind of separated a little bit from our extended family when I was a child, when I was in grade school. So a lot of the experiences that my brothers and sisters and my mom and dad shared with extended family, I didn't participate in. I knew the stories of them. So my cousins, I know through stories and through pictures and through vague memories as a toddler and very young preteen child. But most of the recollection I have is through experiences I've heard from my siblings, brothers and sisters, and stories they've told. I have always felt like somewhat of an outsider with my own family, and I have a hard time dealing with that. I always have. Now, having said that, I've talked to my brothers and sisters, and they've said the same thing. So this is just kind of normal for people to feel in families, but I've always felt like that outsider, and whether that's legit or not, you know, I don't know, that's how I feel. So that's all I have to dwell on, or, you know, to draw from, is that that's how I feel. And part of that is the fact that I feel I'm the only one in our family who didn't know this long-lost brother. So I have always felt separated. Now, I know that to be an internal problem, and one that is, you know, possibly not valid, because I've also felt that with my wife, and she had no, you know, our time together has been our time together. I've always felt like an outsider looking in. I feel like that with my son. I don't know. It's just insecurities that we all experience, but you know what? I have a microphone, so I get to talk about mine. So today, back to the subject, I just needed to get away. And I spent several hours by myself riding through the Arizona desert trying to clear my head. And I think it worked. It felt good to do that. Part of that is also based in the fact that as my little baby boy is growing up, he just turned six. And he is he's not a baby anymore. He's in kindergarten. He's learning to read. I can't tell you the joy and the happiness it was to listen to him read the other day as we were sitting down to breakfast, and he's reading from the pages of a magazine, and it was just so great to see. And then it hit me. He's not a little baby anymore. He's a boy. He's a kid. And then all that did is put me in a spiral. Then he's going to be a teenager. Then he's going to hate me. And then he's going to be embarrassed of me. And blah, blah, blah. He's not going to need me anymore. And I suddenly felt old and wore out. And that made me realize that, you know what, I am old. I am wore out. I am. I will be 50 this year, and that hurts. I am not supposed to be that old. I am the baby brother. I am not supposed to be a 50-year-old man, but here I am rubbing Ben Gay on a knee that won't bend or straighten out. And that's all a knee is supposed to do is bend and straighten out, and mine won't do either. So it's just been a frustrating week. It's been a very, very awakening week, making me realize I am an old man with a six-year-old teenage son who hates me, and only half of that statement is true. Another reason why this has kind of collapsed on me this week is something that's going to be happening at the end of this week, February. I'm an idiot. Something that's going to happen this week, Friday, not February, Friday, September 25th. Like I said, I felt like an outsider in my own family growing up. I did not, there was two brothers, two sisters. They were older than me. The two brothers seemed to always do things together with my dad. The two sisters always did stuff with my mom. And I often would stay home by myself. I remember being home alone. Now, not like we're going to call DES on my mom or nothing. But at 8, 9, 10 years old, I would be home by myself. It was a different time, obviously, back then. But even when we were together as a family, I would often, we lived on a corner lot, a little suburb home in the San Francisco Bay Area, the East Bay. Had a lot of trees in the yard, but it was just a tract home. There wasn't a big yard. It was a very small yard, 1,100 square foot, three bedroom, two bath house. We had a lot of trees. We were on a corner lot. And even when the house was packed, which it often was, any, at any given time, there was all of us and then three or four neighbor kids or more. So the house was always packed, and I would feel, not knowing what it was at the time, but now looking back, it was anxiety. I would grab a book. I remember exactly what it looked like. It was a little, like a 4x5-inch transistor radio. It was olive green, an AM radio with an extendable antenna, took a 9-volt battery. And I would take that and a book, climb a tree that overhung over our garage roof, and I would climb up on the roof and sit there listening to, and I'm talking 9 years old, listening to KGO talk radio, Ron Owens, who's still on the air in San Francisco. I would listen to talk radio. Jim Eason had a show. Some 9-year old weird kid sitting on the roof with a AM radio and a book listening to talk radio. No wonder I'm all alone in my garage on a Sunday night. I'm an idiot, and I'm a weirdo. Anyway, I would often just go by myself. I was more comfortable doing that. And then I did develop some close friendships in school, primarily in, I had some good friends in elementary school, but I kind of felt like an outsider. They were, there was a group of friends that I hung out with. They all knew each other before I met them. I'd switched schools a couple times second grade, going from one school to another. So I was kind of the outsider joining the group. They were great kids, good friends. But I always felt like an outsider. And then in junior high, where various elementary schools combined into a junior high, I kind of lost track of those elementary school friends and met up with a group of boys that went to a different elementary school. And I became very close with them. And I maintained that friendship well into our 20s, from seventh grade. What are you in seventh grade? 13, 12, I guess. I don't know. Into our 20s. So a good 10, 11, 12 years where we were very tight. Again, I was kind of the outsider. I still had that feeling like I was the outsider. And one of those young men that I was very close with, we got in a lot of trouble together. We had a lot of fun together. We made a lot of mistakes together. His name is Ron Pitts. And we had some experiences. I haven't seen Ron in, I want to say 15 years. And recently, in the last couple of years, we've came in contact again through social media, through Facebook. I want to say when's... you know what? I don't even want to guess when I saw him in flesh and blood last. But it's been a while. He and his wife, Tammy, who I also know very well, have not seen in a long time. Ronnie has family in Tucson, Arizona, several hours away, a few hours away from where I am now. And he visits periodically. In the last few years, we've traded messages. Hey, next time I'm in the Bay Area, I got to look him up. Next time he's in Arizona, he's going to look me up. And we haven't clicked. Well, this Friday, Ron and Tammy Pitts will be in Prescott, Arizona. They're on the road. I believe they're on the road already. They've got some family visits they're doing on the way. And then midweek, they'll be in Flagstaff, Thursday, Sedona. And Friday, they're coming into Prescott, Arizona, which is about 10 miles from me. So we will be hooking up. Hopefully, my wife and son and I will join Tammy and Ron for maybe breakfast or lunch, whatever they have time for. We want to sit down and talk. And I'm not getting into a whole lot of details of the trouble we got into because I have not broached this subject with Ron yet, but I am wanting to record a podcast with Ron Pitts. Some of it may not be fit for family listening, which I pride the Mile High Show in being. So we'll see. He may. I'm hoping he wants to sit down. But Friday night, I will be taking Ron and Tammy out to show them the nightlife of Whiskey Row. And we're going to go by and see Sky Daddy Conwell over at Tailgaters in Prescott Valley. Road 1 South, Greg Notes is going to be, he sent me a message. He's going to be, the Road 1 South are going to be playing over at Brick and Bones. We're going to stop by and see them. And I believe the Cheek Tones with Don Cheek and Drew Hall and the rest of the gang will be playing, I think, the Raven. So those three spots specific, I really want to show Ron and Tammy. But again, my own phobias, my own anxieties, my own panic, a little of panic attacks. I've been very, let me back up a little bit. Make no bones about it. I am really, really looking forward to seeing Ron and Tammy again. I am excited about spending time and talking and swapping stories. Having said that, I am also a little stressed out, more than a little stressed out, and I'll tell you why. As much as I'm looking forward to seeing Ron, in seeing pictures of him recently and Tammy, both of them, they have not changed a lick since 1986. They look like we just cut them out of a picture of the yearbook. We graduated, Ronnie and I graduated in 1984. He looks exactly the same. And for that, I want to punch him in the face. I, on the other hand, look like I have been punched in the face by a diesel truck, run over by a train. The years have not been good to me. Let me rephrase that. I have not been good to the years. All the damage done to my body, both inside and out, is purely self-inflicted. It's odd. It feels like I'm about to run into an old girlfriend that I'm trying to impress. I feel like an idiot in stressing this much about seeing an old high school buddy. But that guy hasn't changed a bit. Like I said, I want to punch him in the face. The guy's there's no need for that. There's no need for that being that well preserved. Where does he get off? Where does he get off still having a full head of dark brown hair? It's punk. Anyway, just kidding, Ronnie. I'm looking forward to seeing you, and hopefully we can sit down and record a podcast. I'm sure that as I'm walking down the row introducing Ronnie to any of you who may come up to us, folks will automatically assume he's my grandson or maybe my very young nephew visiting from out of state. But rest assured, contrary to appearances, we are roughly the same age. And when I say roughly, I am the roughly part. I am the age part. He is the friend part. So I will put this out to anybody out there. If you see myself walking around with a guy that looks like he walked out of a magazine ad, that is me and Ronnie Pitts. Come on over, say hi. Hey, do me a favor, make me look like a big shot. Come on up. Ask for it. Tell you what. You come up and say hi. That warrants you a drink. You ask me for an autograph. I'll get you top shelf. Come on over, say hi. We'll be tailgaters. Brick and Bones, and probably the Raven. So anybody out there listening, come on over, say hi to me, tell Ronnie that I'm not a complete loss. I have some redeeming qualities. This has been the podcast for this week. It's one of the solo ones. I know I ramble a lot on these. I hope I am not boring you too much. But my goal is to put out an episode a week. So far, I've been fairly successful. Since December when we started, I've only missed 1 week, and that was Labor Day weekend because I had some really heavy commitments I couldn't get out of. But to recap, my goal for the Mile High Show is to get out and about, introduce a wider audience to some of the local entertainers we have in Arizona, specifically the Prescott area. But like I said, I also travel down to Phoenix periodically. One of the funnest ones that I did, and unfortunately, it was several months ago when I was, I had kind of a laryngitis. It was a really, really bad allergy that constricted my throat. I was coughing and wheezing, and my voice was pretty shot. Was with Brian Kahatsu, a local comedian out of Phoenix, who I really enjoyed talking to, and I got a chance to sit with him at a restaurant in Phoenix that he has been frequenting since high school. And then I got to see him at the Comedy Spot in Scottsdale, a really, really nice comedy club. It's very small, very intimate, and I got a chance to see him and a guy that I knew way, way back when, Mr. Mark Pitta from San Leandro, California. I got a chance to sit down with Brian, and it was a lot of fun. And I'll tell you, one of the things that we had in common was swapping stories about growing up. And Brian's comedy centers around his family, specifically his dad as a Japanese immigrant and a farmer down in Phoenix way back when. And the experiences of a Japanese American growing up, and it extends to his own kids now. Brian Kahatsu, very funny guy. Look him up on Facebook and find out where he is performing primarily down. He does a lot of work at the Comedy Spot. Now, if anybody out there has a connection to the Comedy Spot, let me throw this out there. Because that day, again, this was February or March, I was down there. I saw the show. I tweeted about it. I put some photos up about it. And very soon after that, for some reason, now I have two Twitter accounts, Mile High Show, and that's Mile, M-I-L-E, High, H-I, Show on Twitter. And then my photo one, my other job one is M-Santos underscore photo. Now, I was following Comedy Spot on both of those, and then a day or so after recording that episode with Brian, the Mile High Show Twitter account was blocked by the Comedy Spot. Now, I try and share upcoming shows, but of course, up here in the Prescott area, but also down in Phoenix, of various comedy clubs and music venues, some that Bobby Johnson and Day Day, guys that perform up here a lot, the ones that they sponsor and that they produce, as well as Rick Bronson's House of Comedy, Tempe Improv, and Phoenix Live, Stand Up Live in Phoenix. And I'm able to do so, but for some reason, the Comedy Spot has blocked me. I can't follow them on the Mile High Show Twitter feed. I can't follow them. I can't retweet them. I can't do anything associated with the Comedy Spot. Now, I can with M. Santos underscore photo. If anybody out there has any connection to the Comedy Spot, reach out to them and ask them why the Mile High Show has been blocked. I'm not sure if it's something they felt offended by. I would gladly like to discuss that with them and clear it up. But other than sharing the posts of who they've got coming up, I really hadn't done anything regarding them, and I'm a little unsure as to why that has happened. Now, having said that, one of the comedians that both Brian and I talked about, he had not been aware of him, but I mentioned it to him, and then I had purchased a CD from this comedian out of LA. He's a Comedy Store comic, very funny guy, and shares one of the things that Brian and I both cherish, and that's kind of like a family-friendly, radio-friendly comedy and radio-friendly broadcast, is Steve Simone. He has a podcast, Good Times, and he is, like I said, he's based out of the comedy. Well, he's based out of everywhere, but he used to work at the Comedy Store as a, he was the manager there. He was a doorman and then the manager. He has a very unique take on comedy, especially unique this day and age, where a lot of comics are, and very, very funny and successful, kind of sarcastic and ironic and sometimes biting. Steve Simone does very upbeat comedy. It's celebratory of his time growing up with his family, the good times that they have shared, the fun he had tearing up the neighborhood as a kid with all his cronies, his little kids riding around on bikes, blowing stuff up and shooting off fireworks. He grew up in the Philadelphia area, and his podcast, again, is Good Times with Steve Simone. Very, very funny and very, very positive. I had sent away for a CD of Steve Simone's comedy that he was selling on awesomesteve.com. And when Steve sent it back, he sent back not just one but two CDs, a bunch of stickers he's got, and a handwritten note thanking me for purchasing those. And that made my day. That was a few months back, and it really, really made my day. So I gave Brian one of the CDs, and that's what Steve said in his note. He goes, hey, share this with a buddy. So that's what I did. Well, Steve Simone is coming to Rick Bronson's House of Comedy in Phoenix the end of September, I think the 30th through October 3rd, I think. But it's that Wednesday through Saturday, the end of September, early October. I personally am going to see him perform Thursday night and Friday night. I made sure I'm going both nights. Dual-edged, because we're taking a little time. I'm going to be the whole family, my wife and my son and myself are going down. We're going to have a little vacation, staying at the motel and doing a little swimming and getting some shopping done in Phoenix. It's only a couple hours away, but it's nice to go down and just relax. But at night on Thursday and Friday night, I will be going to see Steve Simone at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy in Phoenix. And he knows nothing about this. I haven't approached him. But in the meantime, I may send him an email, because I personally would like to sit down and record, even if it's 10 or 15 minutes with Steve Simone. So this is what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. Either I am going to get an interview with Steve, and anybody out there who may know Steve could, you know, hey, reach out to him and tell him that it might be fun to do. That may happen, or I may make the news, because I'm fairly certain restraining orders are public record, and if Steve feels that he's being stalked and harassed by a rabid fan who has a recorder in his pocket, I might make the news. So I will put this out. Steve Simone, if you can sit down with me for, you know, a few minutes and record, even if it's an intro or a promo for the Mile High Show, or maybe even better yet, you just screaming at me, telling me to leave you alone. That I would take that too, because I am a big fan of Steve Simone's Good Times podcast. So I think that's about all I got for right now. I've rambled on much longer than I intended to. I have talked about my own insecurities, my panic attacks, my mental problems. I've invited you all to meet up with Ron Pitts, Tammy Pitts, and myself on Whiskey Row Friday the 25th. I have announced that I will be stalking a nationally known comedian, and I very well may need bail money at the end of the month. And I've also asked why I have alienated a comedy club in Scottsdale. So if you can help with any of those things, I would appreciate it. I also would appreciate you visiting milehighshow.com and leaving us a comment on the contact page. Let us know who you would like to hear an interview with, any bands, local personalities in the Prescott area that you feel would be worth my annoying them with an interview. Anybody you'd like to hear from, any restaurant owners, bar owners, authors, actors, comedians, or just plain old characters out there that you'd like to hear their story, please shoot me a message, milehighshow.com. Use the contact page, and please visit iTunes, TuneIn, or Stitcher to download this and all the episodes. On iTunes, take a minute if you could. Give us a rating. Give us a review. And we have had sponsors for various episodes taking care of our guests by picking up the tab at restaurants and bars, paying my gas to go to and from some interviews, especially those down in Phoenix. Some of the local businesses have been very generous in that area. There is a PayPal donate here button on milehighshow.com where, if you would be inclined to do so, and some of you have, to drop us a buck or two. And when I say a buck or two, I literally mean a buck or two to, you know, anything from a dollar on up. If you would like to donate to the cause, that will help us to go out and interview some of these interesting folks. As way of sponsorship, like I said, some local businesses have done so financially, But I also like to take a minute or two to thank the businesses that and make them sponsors, just getting the word out on them, that aren't necessarily financial sponsors. One of those businesses, and I only choose these if I really believe in either the product or the service that they render. And one of those businesses and this week's sponsor is Prescott Dentistry, 350 Whipple Street in Prescott, Arizona. You can reach them at prescottdentistry.com or by phone 928-445-1660. Dr. Montez and Dr. Thompson are the main dentists over there. I have been helped out by Dr. Nathan Thompson himself. He's a great guy. I hate dentists. When you talk about anxiety and panic, that hits me hardcore in doctor's offices and specifically dentists. I do not handle them well. I often need not just the medication, not just the gas that they give you, you know, to do the procedure, but I need to be helped pharmaceutically before I even get there because I am a wreck. Nobody likes going to the dentist, but I really, really hate it. Really hate it to the point that I get physically ill when I have to go. Now, having said that, several weeks ago, I needed some dental work. It was an emergency. It was extreme pain on a tooth that I had had some work done on over 10 years ago when I was still living in California and never went back to finish it because I was so stressed out. And it got to the point where it needed to be done. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So at the recommendation of a family member, I went over to the PrescottDentistry.com website, filled out the little questionnaire. They called me a couple of days later, and just in that short conversation on the phone, a few of my concerns were addressed. I was not as anxious when I showed up for the consultation. That lasted a little bit. They did some x-rays. Dr. Thompson came in, explained what was going on, made me feel really at ease. Then I go back a few days later. The front office staff was exceptional. The tech that helped me out before the doctor came in really put me at ease. And then when Dr. Nathan Thompson came in, he really alleviated my fears. If you are putting off dental work because of fears, anxiety, or stress, do not do so. Get a hold of Dr. Nathan Thompson at Prescott Dentistry, and trust me, you will not be disappointed. PrescottDentistry.com, 350 Whipple Street, Prescott, Arizona, 928-445-1660. I am only doing this as a sponsorship because I truly believe they are the real deal. They took care of me when I thought I was beyond help. And I am in a lot of areas. But in my teeth, they got me squared away. Hey, thanks for tuning in again. This is the Mile High Show. I am Matt Santos. I hope I didn't bore you too bad. And get out there, support your local entertainers, and support the businesses that support those entertainers. If there is a restaurant, coffee shop, eatery, bar locally that supports local musicians, support them because that's how these entertainers will know they are appreciated. And then when you see them playing, if it's anybody that you've heard on the Mile High Show, please tell them that you heard them here. Help get the word out that the Mile High Show is a great source of information on what's going on in and around Prescott, Arizona, and all of Arizona for that matter. And if you know anybody at the Comedy Spot, find out why I'm blocked. And if you know Steve Simone, tell him to sit down. I'll buy him lunch. We'll have a nice conversation. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life. So take the photographs and still frames in your mind, hanging on a shelf in good health and good time. Tattoos and memories and dead skin on trial. For what it's worth, it was worth all the while. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life. Something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life.